Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a climb. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Shit 90 shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm so happy to be in this podcast over here. This is my favorite podcast, which is that podcast over here.
Yeah, not that podcast over there.
This podcast over here. This one. Happy to be here. I can take you to that podcast over here.
I want to know who wrote that joke, because it's so iconic but so random. That Corey,
the best.
He starts hitchhiking and there's a payphone inside the entire time. Some questions on his decision making.
Oh my gosh. This is such a good episode.
It is. We back, baby. Season 4, episode 1. You can go home again. We're here.
I think we've arrived. Like, I think we've officially arrived into prime Boy Meets World.
So do you think before we, like, we started the season, but before we get too deep into the season, do you believe this will be your favorite season of all the seasons?
I'm pretty confident either season 4 or season 5 is going to be my favorite.
And we have 6 total, or we have 7 total?
Seven. And
you think I'd know?
And actually, like, I think that this one was really monumental for me, because I'm pretty sure this is, like, where my crush on Corey Matthews started.
Interesting, because I feel like his hair is different.
This is why I was so freaking in love with him. Yes, because I love this hair, because guess whose hair this looks like, but a little shorter.
Who's?
Ethan Zahn.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Drew, curls. And I was like, I've met Drew, no, and his hair
Drew
is
has
not
straight hair. No.
Yeah.
Ethan Zahn was, like, one of my first crushes ever. Yeah. Like, my little girl brain when I watched him first run, because you know I've watched Survivor,
of course,
like, first run since the beginning with my, like, family. Ethan Zahn was, like, a huge crush, and I was only,
you were like,
I don't know,
it was on, what, 2000 or 2001?
Yeah.
So you were like 12, maybe?
12, like, big crush, and, yeah. Or I don't know, it's the chicken and the egg, what came first.
Yeah,
like,
but still.
But big curls, and it's, like, lighter this season.
I was gonna say, okay, because yeah. I noticed that too, that, like, I'm pulling up a picture of
sun-kissed.
He does have, like, a lighter hair color, and I was wondering what they did to it, like, why it's so
sun-in.
Light.
They literally got the sun-in spray and just started
spritzing.
That's
what it looks like, because here's the thing.
Yeah.
I want to say that also Sean and Eric's hair, like, this is, like, the season of good hair. Like, everyone's hair game is on point. Yes. Even just from the first episode. But we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves because...
It's because I'm so excited.
I'm excited, too. I really enjoyed this episode. I remembered this episode. And, yeah. And before we even dive into this episode, we have to talk about the theme song. Because every season, we have ranked the theme songs thus far. And just to give a little refresh, last season, when we started season 3, my ranking was 3-2-1. So it went, I thought they kept getting better as time went on. You disagreed. You like one, I believe.
Yes, I did like one.
You hated two.
I don't like two.
Two is a little cartoon guy, and yeah, it's just like a little bebop of music, and that's
it. It's like
it.
2 seconds. Yes. I don't remember what my rankings were. They were either 3-1-2 or 1. I think it was 1-3-2.
I believe you liked 1-3-2, I think, as your ranking.
Well, mine adjusted a smidge because apparently now my rankings are 4-3-1-2.
Okay. Mine is 4-3-2-1. So, yeah, this is the best theme song so far.
Yes. It's iconic. So, this one is the one where.
Yes, please sing Corey. It.
It's okay. Like, I don't mean it. It's like do 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 do. Like, I skipped a couple bars. So, like, we get Corey leaving the Matthews house, and there's a red convertible.
Yeah,
whose red convertible we'll never know. Eric's driving. Corey kicks it in the back seat.
Oh my god.
So, and then, yeah, like, they're, like, driving around, Corey, Topanga, Sean, and Eric, and they, in, like, the mirror and the windows, there's, like, reflections of, like, old scenes.
Which I like.
From previous season. I like it, too. This one is definitely the best theme song so far. It's definitely the best visuals so far. Is it the most iconic Boy Meets World?
No.
We haven't reached it yet,
in my opinion. My fave, yeah. I believe, is season 5's or it may be season 6's. Yeah. I'll let you know when we get there. But to me, this is not my fave.
I think this one is extremely iconic, and I'm not positive if I like it more than, like, it's a Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World.
Yeah. Because I think that this is as equally, like, iconic, especially, like, the red convertible stuff. Of course, there's, like, bucket dropping, but you know... I'll, like, have, like, nobody drops buckets on me. You know I won't love that. I mean, no one's dropping.
Because you're triggered by buckets being dropped on you?
You know what it is? Remember, a few years ago, and this might have not even been a few years ago. This very well could have been 10 years ago. When people were doing the ice bucket challenge.
Oh, that was, like, I want to say I was in college.
And they're, like... Let's drop an ice bucket.
No, people
for...
stood in ice, right?
No.
Oh, they doused themselves. Didn't they douse themselves, not douse others?
I think that you doused somebody. I don't remember. But, like, everybody was doing it. It was plastered all over the Facebook wall. And I refused. I did not want to do the ice bucket challenge.
What does this have to do with Boy Meets World?
I just don't like buckets dumped on me.
Okay. No one dump a bucket on Sarah. Nobody.
Okay. But, no, okay, yeah, that was a little bit of a sidebar. But I'm sorry.
We're very excited about the new theme. I'm very excited. It's the best one. We both agree. It is the best one so far.
So far.
So excited for this season. We have some really fun guests coming on. Obviously, we always started off first episode premiere and last episode finale. It's always just us to start things off. And this is a fun episode because there is, like, continuity with the last, you know, the finale for season 3. Where Corey and Eric are leaving for a road trip. So it's fun that we're starting off with them still kind of like in summer mode, finishing up the road trip. Yes. And so we start off in the car. It's day 58 of this summer road trip. And Corey is apparently recording a tape recorder for Topanga.
So romantic. I would love that.
Would you? I feel like it would get boring to listen to.
I don't know. Like... There's no texting. There's no, like, cell phone. So Topanga's just waiting around the mailbox every day for a tape.
I guess it is, like, a personal podcast.
Yeah, I think that it's so romantic too. But you know who doesn't think it's romantic? Eric, who is annoyed because he's been blabbering about Topanga all summer long. Mm-hmm. And he even like goes as far as throwing the tape recorder out the window, which apparently is Corey's 17th tape recorder. Mm-hmm. Which, no wonder he wasn't able to afford a bus ticket later on in the episode if he has to keep buying all those tape recorders.
Yeah, I wonder how many he brought with them. So yeah, so everything reminds Corey of Topanga, and Eric is stalling. They're only 3 hours from home at this point, which isn't far.
No.
But of course, Eric sees that Pottstown has the world's largest yogurt cup, and he's like, we gotta stop here.
We gotta stop. So Pottstown is actually a real Pennsylvanian town, and it is about 40 miles northwest of Philadelphia. However, it's not as like small town country bumpkin yeah. as this episode is making it seem to be. Have you ever been to Pottstown?
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
Maybe I've driven through it. I don't know. Do they have a yogurt cup there?
I don't think so, but what are these, like, what are they called? Like, side, roadside attractions or something?
Yeah, yeah, like, there's a lot of those, like, world's largest blank.
Yeah, like, world's largest, like, yarn ball. Yeah, or, like,
we've done this, like, my family has done this. We went on a 6-week vacation, and we mostly had everything planned to go cross-country, but we did make some, like, side trips and stuff. And I remember we were out west. I can't even remember. I can't tell you even where. Maybe near the Grand Canyon or something. And my dad really wanted to see, I don't remember what it was called, but it was like this death tree or something. And we drove like an hour out of the way with a huge RV. Like this is a 30-foot RV. And it was like some petrified tree. It looked like shit. Like, it wasn't even cool at all. And we drove all this way, all the way. We had to walk really far. I remember it not being worth it at all.
No, I mean, like, these side attractions, roadside attractions, are never interesting. Mm-hmm. I remember I went to one where it's like, I don't know, like a cave, like bat caves or whatever, in Pennsylvania as well. And I was so afraid because they did like this. They said this weird thing that if you're in the cave and you flash a light, then everyone would get blinded. And it's like,
what?
I don't remember the specifics, but that's what they said. And I was terrified. I was like a kid. I was like, I'm going to get blinded in this cave. Like, I don't even want to go to the cave. I don't care about the stalactites and the stalagmites. Like, I don't know. And I saw no bats.
I don't know. Okay.
They're like, if you flash a light, then you're going to get blinded.
I feel like this is nonsense and that can't be true.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look up the science about it.
Is this how caverns?
It's like caverns. Yeah. Blinded by.
It's how caverns?
What?
It's not how it's caverns. Do you know what how caverns is?
No.
Maybe it's only a New York thing. How Caverns is like a cavern in New York that everybody went there on a school trip. Like anybody who's from upstate New York will agree with me that you went to How Caverns as a school trip and you see all the stalagmites and all the stalactites. It's a thing.
I don't know. I don't remember why they said that. I feel like it's just one of those things, like, people may make jokes, but when you're a kid, you take it seriously. So then you're, like, terrified, like the tongue-swallowing thing. I don't know.
Wait, what? The tongue-swallowing thing?
Okay, how I was, like, in here. Okay, sorry. I was in second grade, and my teacher talked about swallowing tongues, and now I've developed a lifetime fear of swallowing
your tongue. I don't know how you would even do that.
You'd have to
and it's
really,
all her fault.
Really try to do it. Don't listen to adults when you're a kid. They want to torment
okay,
you.
Okay, don't. That's terrible advice. Don't listen to adults when you're a kid.
I'm telling you, all they want to do is terrify you.
I mean, it's not right. But
this is why I'm afraid of everything.
Okay. Moving on from that.
I'm sorry.
Corey's not wearing pants.
Oh, gosh.
So how do you not do laundry for 2 full months? Like, I don't understand this. How do
they're
they
boys.
Not use. But what are
they're
they wearing for 2 months? You don't have that many clothes.
Maybe that they, like, wash them, like, once every 2 weeks.
And then
they're boys. They're teen boys. What do you expect? They probably don't even know how to do their laundry.
Corey buys yogurt pants.
I like the yogurt pants.
Me too. I would wear them. They look comfy. And now we're back at the Matthews residence. So I have a bone to pick with this episode, and it is that, Sarah, did we not just have a conversation about how season three, we got almost no focus on Amy, and we would appreciate some Amy content, some Amy backstory. Right. What do we get? Season four, episode one, Alan back content.
And we've had a lot of Alan backstory.
So much Alan backstory.
And I've realized, like, everything that's been, like, Amy-centric has been mostly related to Alan as well.
Yeah, she doesn't pass the Bechdel test.
Yeah. So do you want to – actually, can you do me a favor? Mm-hmm. And for people that don't understand what the Bechdel test is, can you just, like, quickly go over that?
Oh, yes.
Because we reference it a lot, and I don't know if I fully understand what it means, so there's probably at least one other listener that doesn't get it, too.
So, it's named after an American cartoonist, Alison Bechdel, and it's basically, it's a measure of representation of women in fiction. And so, it's basically, is there a work that features two women, and do those two women have a conversation about something other than men? And, yeah, like, a lot of times it's like, no, it doesn't pass the test, because a lot of times when we do get Amy content, it's in relation to every other character except her, and it's never a woman, because there aren't that many women on the show. And so,
this doesn't have to do with, like, it only has to do with men. It doesn't have to do, like, I feel like there's a whole nother phenomenon where in media, women, if it's not for men, then it's kids, and they're quote-unquote just shown as mothers.
Oh, that might be something else, but the Bechdel test is specifically about, like, women and whether or not they have conversations about anything besides men. So basically we're getting, and I like this episode and I like this storyline. It's not that, it's the fact that we're seeing yet another Alan storyline and not an Amy storyline. Now who knows, we might get more Amy this season. And I do love the storyline, so I don't mean to, like, trash it, but I'm just frustrated.
I personally really love the storyline. I love that he's struggling with this. Mm-hmm. And there's so much setup that we see for this storyline, mm-hmm. and then eventually what he decides to do about all these feelings, that I feel like the show did it beautifully, where in the first three seasons, there was several different occasions.
Yeah, remember the cantaloupe when he drops that? Like, he's very, you could tell that, he's very frustrated with his job.
The episode where he goes to Corey's school and he talks about his career and how it's, like, embarrassing because it's not, like, a cool career like some other parents. So there's, like, a lot of nuggets where he discusses, like, his displeasure about where he's at with his career and where he's at with, like, his future. So I felt like this is great, like you said, amazing continuity, especially for a sitcom, especially for a 90s sitcom as well. So Amy and Alan are very dressed up. Alan is getting the grocery store manager of the year award, the grossy.
I just love the name of it. I think I know, it's so funny. Good, the grossies. So,
yeah, Amy's, like, really, really proud of Alan, but Alan's, like, kind of shrugging it off. He's like, it's not a big deal. Meanwhile, Topanga and Sean come in because they want to see if Corey's home yet, because he's supposed to get home that night. You know, Topanga says she got 56 tapes from Corey, and apparently the 56 tapes said that he was going to be home on this particular date. And Alan's like, you know what? Like, we're actually, like, on our way out, and Corey's not here yet. So, and then Sean's like, no problem. I'm just going to go take a hot bath because there's, like, some issue with, like, the sewage.
Of course. In
the trailer park.
I really love this because, like, this is a common thing of Sean just, like, overstaying his welcome. And on top of that, we hear, I feel like it's, like, up to Sean and Chet shenanigans again, which I love, because we hear that they've been, like, taking free samples from Alan's grocery store, but he's, like, he's bringing their own toothpicks to, like.
The funniest thing is that, like, I'm pretty sure if you go to the deli and you're like, can I have a free sample of, like, the turkey, you can get it. So, like, what if, like, you just, like, brought your entire family and asked, like, for free samples and then, like, made a sandwich?
You could. I was assuming it was, like, Costco, where they have them all laid out and Sean and Chet are just, like, poking things with their own toothpicks and taking them.
Well, yeah. Like, he's like, you know, you are definitely taking too many free samples, whatever it is.
And then right, so they have to go to the grossies, but we're back at like this yogurt store, and we see it's like the yogurt theme park store, basically diner-ish area.
Yes the gift shop.
But it's like also a diner. It's very strange how they set this place up.
It's like a, I don't know, it's like a Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. And so Eric is like hitting on this like small town waitress. She says, 5 miles away is Berwick, Pennsylvania. And Eric asks her on a date. And it's very obvious that like, he doesn't want to go home. He feels like he has a chance here. So he wants to go on a date with her. Meanwhile, Corey goes to the parade of sprinkles, where everyone is wearing goggles and they just get sprinkles thrown on them. What kind of event is this?
I don't know, but it's such a waste of sprinkles.
It is.
And
like, well, actually, birds shouldn't be eating those. Like, animals shouldn't be eating chocolate.
No. Sprinkles actually kind of freaking suck, so maybe we should try to waste all the sprinkles in the world. But it's also more for not decoration. Great for your eyes. I mean, ice cream sprinkles are fine, but those really crunchy sprinkles that, like, you can't even bite into suck.
I think it's, like, the difference between, like, a Jimmy and a sprinkle.
We call them all sprinkles.
I do, too, but Jimmy's, I think, are specifically, like, the cylindrical ones.
Yeah, those are okay, but it makes your mouth feel chalky.
They get stuck in your teeth, for sure.
Yeah. So we're coming back from the Grossy Awards. He has his little trophy, and Amy puts the trophy on the mantle. Love the trophy. It's a little shopping cart.
I love it.
It's adorable. Yeah,
they spent Alan's some like money on that versus just like a little shiny man, you know?
Shiny. I want one. Alan's really depressed, though, because he feels like this award represents 20 years of his life in the grocery business, and like now he's like reached like the top of like as far as you can go, which I don't think is necessarily true, because he can become like district manager,
and he could be like an owner, I guess, but he feels like this is the top pretty much.
And you know, he kind of just talks about how this just started off as like a simple summer job as a bag boy, and he kept getting promotions, and he kept staying there because he was climbing up the ladder, and he then eventually had to support his wife and family. And it kind of like he woke up one day and it's like 27 years later, and all of a sudden he has a career and a profession of being a lifelong grocer. And you know, Alan used to be a little bit rock and roll, like he used to
be in a band,
ride roller coasters and be in a band, and he thought, and he used to be a boxer in the army, and he just thought his life was going to be different from what it is currently. And I think that he's just struggling with the fact that like he never went after what he actually wants in this universe. He just got stuck in a situation, got comfortable, as he explains later, and stayed. And I think that is something that is so relatable, because how many of us stayed in a job way too long because you're comfortable, or relationship that you shouldn't have been in because you're too comfortable, or even a house, like a home that's like, oh, this apartment, like it sucks, the landlord sucks, it like it's falling apart, blah blah blah, but like I don't feel like moving, like, you know, I'm comfortable. So I felt like this was extremely relatable. I loved this.
Yeah, I think that like as a kid watching this episode, I didn't think much of Alan's storyline, because obviously I wasn't an adult yet, but watching this back as a 30-year-old now, like this is so much more relatable than it was when I was a kid. And that's why this show is so great, is because it is like, yes, it's a kids show, but like there is stuff for adults in here, and this is totally relatable. I mean, like I feel a connection with Alan. I'm not like as burnt out, I wouldn't say, as like he seems to be, but the job that I have is certainly not the job that like I would have pictured myself having as a teenager, right? Like by happenstance ended up in insurance. It's not something that like I pursued a ton until I was already in it and was like, oh, I can make this into a career. So I definitely connect with him on that. And it sucks because I think he like, I mean, based on the math, right? Like he was 24 when Eric was born. And so by that math, like he didn't have a ton of time to kind of explore other options, you know, like he had a wife and a family to take care of. And so he kept the job that made him the money that helped him take care of his family. He didn't have a ton of room to go out and pursue maybe like passion projects. And so he just feels burnt out. And I, you know, it sucks. And it happens to a lot of people, especially a lot of people, I'm assuming, around his age, you know. So this storyline is really great. And I'm really excited to explore it. Again, would have been nice to see some Amy content. But at least we get to see Amy comforting him. So she's there. We do see
she's
her
She's there
screen.
And they're out of the kitchen.
They are
and they
in
got
the kitchen.
To leave the house.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
And he wants to go take a bath. And Sean comes downstairs in his robe and he's like, and I think it's Alan is like, can I get the robe? And he's like, I'm naked under here.
Yeah. And then the audience cheers.
It was
which
so
is
creepy.
Creepy. Mm-hmm. So weird. So he gets to keep the robe. We love a freebie. Eric and Corey has checked into a motel room, which I guess is connected to the yogurt land and the diner. It's like a whole experience over there, and he just wants to go home. Like Corey's like, I just feel for him. When I am close to coming home to a vacation, I'm like over it, like, you know,
you're like,
if
just
I
get
was
me in my bed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I was this close from home and I had to like dawdle. And it's always like this with road trips because people are like, oh, like we can do this one last thing before we
and
go
you're like,
home.
No.
And I'm like,
put me in my bed.
No, I want to go home. Mm-hmm. So I really feel for Corey in this situation. But at least he got some like good merch at the old
Those
yogurt shop.
Those spoon glasses were hilarious and adorable.
Iconic.
I loved
Iconic.
Them.
Yes. Fashion icon.
And he gets a vibrating bed. So,
oh, yeah. Never been in there. I'd never done that before. But I know all about the... I doubt they exist anymore.
I don't think so. Ew, yeah. I wouldn't want to sleep on one even if there was one. It's like, what were people doing on this?
I don't know. So Eric is going on this date with the yogurt girl. And... and Corey's like, I've been a good brother on this trip. Like, I've entertained like all of your whims wherever you want to go. I've been supportive, but like, I want to go home. And Eric's like, I don't want to go home.
Yeah. And so, he feels like Corey is bragging because Corey's like, I have a life waiting for me at home. And Eric's like, well, that must be nice because I don't have college. Mm-hmm. I don't have all my friends are in college. Like, I don't have a job. And Eric basically says, I'm not going home. And it's like, okay, but even if that is your choice, Eric, like you can't just leave your brother 3 hours from home when he has a life and a family and he's a student and he's a kid.
At this point, I would get on the bus. I'd be like, if you want to be a loser, like ditch your brother. Like Corey's like refusing to leave Eric. I would be like, okay, then bye.
Yeah,
like,
there's a payphone in the store we find out later. You know that'd be the first thing I'd be doing is calling home and be like, Mom, Eric's not bringing me home. Can you please come pick me up? He's being a complete dick.
Or I would call, remember how Corey lent Feeny taxi money?
Yes.
I would be like, take the taxi home and be like, Feeny. Knock, knock, Feeny. Yeah, like, hand over the cash. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. But Eric is like, oh, this place is great. It has Irene, who is the yogurt girl, soup, pie. And I think it's Corey who says, like, you didn't find happiness. You just pulled off the road. Like, you just happened upon this. This isn't happiness. Yes. This is just a pit stop.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Eric's like, oh, well, you have money for the bus. And then Corey grabs the keys. This is so stupid. He doesn't even have a license. Like, why are you, what are you going to do?
Plan?
I don't know.
He's like, yeah, worst case scenario, I'll smash into the world's largest Slurpee. It's like, I don't know. And so then we get Irene, the yogurt girl, is there still, and she's surprised that Eric stayed because she would have thought that Eric would have, like, left her for someone more interesting. And Eric's like, no, like, you know, I'm really happy to be here. And she likes him. She thinks that, like, He's a great guy because he looks into her eyes mm-hmm. when they talk.
She says he sounds really smart, which I will say that the Eric of this episode is a much more serious, pensive Eric than we've seen in the past. Like, he's not as, like, jokey as prior Eric has been. That's obviously going to change because we know where the character goes. But, like, interesting to see a more grounded, serious character. I mean, obviously he makes poor decisions, but, mm-hmm. like, he definitely is more serious in this episode.
Yeah, he is. This is a continuation of the last episode of season three, mm-hmm. Eric. An Eric that we both really, really like. Mm-hmm. So I really liked Eric in this episode. And she's like, I want to introduce you to my friends. And she's like, you can even invite the little hitchhiker boy if you want.
The entire episode, poor Corey is referred to as the hitchhiker boy.
I love it. I love the little hitchhiker boy. Corey's like, no, like, I'm going to go. I'm going to drive. And then he does the dumbest thing because, like, Eric's like, let me look at your keys to make sure they're the right ones. So he hands over the keys and he's like, sucker, like, dummy.
Yeah. So dumb. So dumb. Yes. And then Irene says, no one in this town is going to pick him up for hitchhiking because everyone is here. And they kiss. And here's the thing, like, why Corey even leaves when there's a payphone right there makes no sense. But
I don't know. He didn't think about it. He was just like, I'm just going to hitch him
home. He really hates yogurt. So we're back at the Matthews residence and Amy's kind of comforting Alan and she says, I really, really love this whole scene. She says, you know, anytime you're ready to open up, I can listen. And Alan jokingly says, you know, I blame you. I have this job to support you and the kids. And which, like, I don't really like that from Alan, to be honest, because
I think he was joking.
I think so too. But I still think like there's still like truth to those words, but what I do love and I think is still an accurate message. Again, that's why we love covering this show is because these messages, these moral, the stories, all those things are still so relatable now. Her saying what you do for a living isn't mostly what you are. It's a small part. And like, this is so true. And I think the problem is, and I've said this before, like, society puts such pressure on people to figure out their career as young as, like, 16 years old. You're supposed to know what you want to do forever. If anybody, even me now, 30 years old, knows that. Like, and it's supposed to be, like, your entire life's worth is your career. And that's simply not true. Like, your friends, your family, who you are as a person, how kind you are, what you give back to society. All of those things to me, so much more important than how you get your paycheck, which is essentially what a job is.
Absolutely.
And like, not everybody is a doctor or a teacher or something that's like super influential in this world. And that's okay too, right? Like, we need everybody to do everything, do their part to get by. And like, she's trying to cement this into his head, you know, like, you're a person I love a whole lot. I want you to be happy. And Alan just feels like he's settled. He's settled into this life like you were talking about before.
Yeah. We get the Fiend come out. I think that they were like looking at the stars while they talk, mm-hmm. but like Feeny keeps like looking towards where the direction they were looking. Yeah. He's like, what are we looking at, guys? And then he comes over to the other side of the fence and like squishes into the bench with them. Poor Amy is like sitting sideways.
I love this.
And Alan asks Feeny if he likes his job. And or if he hates his job. Mm-hmm. And Feeny's like, the only job I've ever hated was when I was a grocer. And
he was a bad boy, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Amy's like, you were obviously listening in. And of course he's listening in because he's always listening in because the entire house is bugged.
That's what I wrote in my notes. I was like, he's like, oh, voices carry. No, Feeny, you have the entire backyard bugged. We all know it. Don't try to lie to them. And here's the funny thing is it's like, imagine how bored Feeny was this entire summer with Eric and Corey gone and he has no one to listen to. He must have been listening in on Alan and Amy all the time.
Can you imagine little Feeny's face in the window staring out towards the Matthews house? Like a little lost puppy. Yeah. Like, please, please let the boys come home.
Please someone like, talk some drama so I have something interesting going
he's
on.
He's like, I don't like watching Morgan. He's like, watching Morgan makes me feel really creepy. Yeah. So please, boys, please come home.
So funny.
Yeah, his little face in the window. I'm envisioning it.
Yeah.
So he says that you know, he's been a teacher all his life and he enjoys it, and he teaches because you know, because he it's fun for him. And Alan asks, like, what happens when it stops becoming fun? And he goes, well, I would look to my friends and family for support to help me find something new. And Alan, like, gets the hint, and he's like, thank you. You know, that's, like, good food for thought,
yeah, you taught me something. And yeah. I love George being like, it was fun for me. Ha, ha, ha. Like,
yeah, it was fun for him because he loves being in other people's business.
He does. That's what makes him a good teacher, is he loves being up in people's business. And I just, yeah. I do like this because I like Feeny as being a mentor, not just to the kids, but also to other adults, because he is a good mentor, yes. right? Like, very seriously, even though we joke about him bugging people's houses, he is a good mentor. And I like them focusing, even just for, like, the B storyline, on the adults, because
this is a quality B storyline.
Exactly. This is a high quality B storyline. Again, love to see more Amy in the run, but I'm not going to quibble too much because I do think it's really important. It's an important storyline, especially like you said, for what we're going to see in the future. It is more yes. breadcrumbs behind Alan as to what we're going to see later.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, yes. Yes. So this is a very, like, infamous Boy Meets World scene we got now.
Why is it? Here's the thing. Why is this scene so infamous, though?
We thought it was so funny as children. Like, but why is it remember. So funny? I don't know. I remember my friend Chrissy and I, when we would recite this over and over and over again to each other. Like, really? This was the scene. Yes, this was the scene that we always watched. And we would always be like, that farmhouse over there.
Yeah.
Like, we would just repeat it. And it became like an inside joke. And we did it all the time.
Because I remembered this being like, I was watching this with Will because we were watching it on Sunday morning. And we were just laughing at, like, that farmhouse over there.
It's so funny. And no, I have no clue why.
Do they redo this in Girl Meets World? Is there a scene with someone going, that farmhouse over there?
You know what? It was not referenced in the things that I cite. Yeah. So I don't have like a, oh, in this episode of Girl Meets World, yeah. like you can see this
listeners,
reference.
If you know, so, let us know. But I mean,
yeah, that would be without funny watching for us. All the episodes,
oh, I God, can't no, say. We would never wish that on our worst enemy.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's lay the land. Corey is hitchhiking. He's trying to catch a ride to Philadelphia,
right, rural Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, no one's going to pick me up this late at night. But then this, like, I don't know, Quaker looking. Gentleman.
Yeah, he could be more, is it more, no, not more, Mormon? No.
Amish.
Sorry. Back up. He could be
Thank
Amish.
You. Please. Okay, do it again.
He could be Amish because I really, right, like Pennsylvania has a big Amish community. So
they do.
It's possible. We don't really know. But regardless, he stops in a horse and buggy and he says, how far art thou traveling?
Young friend, how far out thou traveling?
It's like, who does like,
he's like, Corey says, I'm going to Philly. He's like, well, I'm going as far as that farmhouse there. And Corey's like, that farmhouse there? Yes, that farmhouse there. Yeah. And Corey's like, I see. Well, I'm going to Philly, so that's not going to really help me.
Yeah, it's not going to get me far.
And he's like, well, I can take you to that farmhouse there. Yeah. And he's like, that would be nice. That's nice of you. But, like, maybe I'll wait for, like, a good, you know, method of transportation to pick me up. He's like, I understand. But if you change your mind, I'll be at that farmhouse there.
Yeah. Here's the thing. And that's the end of the scene. And next thing, Corey is back at the diner. So, like, I want to know who got high and wrote this scene. It's like, it makes no sense. Oh, like, God, why is so this even in the episode? It's hilarious. Yeah. And it means nothing in the long run. But it's so iconic. And I just want to know, like, who got baked, came into work, and was like, everybody, I have the best idea. We're going to have this Amish guy. He's going to ask, how far art thou traveling? Even though he's Amish, not like from Shakespeare times. And then he's going to repeatedly say, that farmhouse.
I'm googling it.
What are you googling? It's that, like, farmhouse there?
There, and like everyone just loves it.
It's like so ridiculous. Reddit,
they're like, this person, you may call me Nina, says, I quote this pretty much weekly on a weekly basis, and no one knows what I'm talking about. Like, everybody in there, like, me too, me too.
Nina, we know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Nina. So, it's just, like, I wish that you can buy merch that says that farmhouse.
No, really?
Yes. So, it's, like,
yeah,
it's so funny. And, like, I don't know who wrote it. I would love to get some, like, background.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's ridiculous, and it's so memorable, and I have no clue, but I would love to go to that farmhouse there. I thought it was that farmhouse over there, but apparently it's that farmhouse there.
Yeah, it's that farmhouse there. And there's like a huge pause. But now anytime I see a farmhouse, I'm going to think of this line, and I'm probably going to have to say it because it's just required.
It's one of those things that just stick with you for your entire life.
It is.
It might be. Is it the most, like, iconic line?
No. Feeny. Feeny.
Feeny. Okay, yes.
That is the most iconic.
Do you think
iconic.
It's, like, a top 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
It has to be.
It has to be.
I think that's maybe when we finish Boy Meets World in forever from now, we could do, like, a top 10, like, catchphrases or lines or something.
Yeah, that farmhouse.
Yeah. But back to this, like, diner, rest area, yogurt shop. Eric is eating pea soup, which I've never had pea soup.
Oh, really?
Have you?
Is pea it good? Pea soup's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
I like peas, so I'd eat it.
Are you on, have you ever heard of Good Soup TikTok?
No, so we talked about this. I have been on TikTok. Like, I've been there. I'm not a regular visitor. Unless people send me things, I hardly go on TikTok. I never got the algorithm to quite show me what I wanted to see. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, it's kind of like a Home Goods. Like, you don't know what you're looking for, but it comes to you.
I can tell you what I'm not looking for, and it's BrickTok.
Oh, stop that. So, this scene where Eric is eating soup and he's like, I think he says this is good soup or something like that. Reminded me of Good Soup TikTok, which is a place to go, and the audio clip is Adam Driver in a girls episode where he's like in a diner, and he, like, there's like some dramatic music, and he takes a sip of soup and he goes, good soup, and he like does this like okay hand signal, but like really forcefully, like, good soup, and people use the sound for like random stuff, but
not
like
soup.
So for example, yeah, not always soup. Like, sometimes, like, it's like somebody, like, when your hair, when you're 8 years old and your hair is soaking wet from the pool and you suck on it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're like, and then people are like, good soup. Or, like, I don't know, like, a tear comes down your face into your mouth and then you go, good soup. So,
you,
like,
need to send me some of these after, because I will.
So there's like, this is an actual thing.
I believe you.
A new meme, and it's called Good Soup TikTok. And if you find yourself there, let me know. So it's ridiculous. So good. I just good thought soup. Of that. Good soup. And that's exactly how like Adam Driver says it.
Okay.
Actually, can you go find it? You can find a clip of it. Like, just Google good soup and we'll put it into the, can we put it
into the podcast?
Into the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on.
Good soup.
Good soup.
So you at least know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I've seen Olive Girls, so I've definitely seen this. Let's see.
soup.
He's so forceful with his hand.
Yeah, with the yeah.
Good soup. What?
So we'll. Yeah, well, so you're gonna drop the audio.
Yeah, I'll drop the link in,
and then I'll we'll put a link in the notes so you can see the scene itself. Good soup, good soup, good soup.
What a weird clip.
Okay, whatever. So not only do they provide good soup, but they also have a really good pie.
Yes. Yes. So they have, yeah, the pie keeps them forever. And we have this old man who's, I feel like, been in everything. Yeah, I feel like I've seen him before. Everywhere. And he goes, "I was only 3 hours from home."
And now, yeah, and then you see the forever. No, it's a trap. It's a trap.
Yes. Yes. And then, yeah, so then they keep, they're talking about how they have to close down because there's like this new highway and everybody's going to blow by the town. And Eric says, well, the soup and pies will make them stop. And so he talks about like they were driving through Texas and they had signs and it was like every few miles he saw this place half a mile away, quarter mile away. And then finally he's like, I have to get this chili. And he says they should put up signs along the highway.
Yes. And marketing genius.
Honestly, it's a great idea.
It's a good, yeah, it's a really good idea.
Yes.
And they, like Irene and the guys are fascinated by this. And they think that he's, like, a genius and, like, some fancy city guy.
Yeah.
And they're, like, oh, they, like, worship him. And they think that he's, like, a hot shot. And Corey, like, comes in and he's, like, you know, Eric's like, I feel like I can be happy in this town for the rest of my life. And Corey's just like over it. Like, you know, you know, you have to come home. And yeah. Eric's like, why do I have to come home? Back home, I'm a loser. Back home, I didn't get into college. Here, like, I can be like the king. Like, I can be something here.
Yeah. Which, like, Corey's, yeah, he would be a big fish in a small pond versus a small fish in a big pond. Like, it's the exact thing that, like, I feel like people struggle with when they actually get to college, which is kind of funny because he's not there. Like, right. They just feel like they don't know who they are anymore. And Eric is really struggling with that. He doesn't know where he's supposed to be. And he hasn't been home. So I feel like he feels like that's not the place for him either. Yes. And it's really sad, like, him trying to find himself. And I love Corey saying, I'm the Prince of Sprinkle.
That's not even how the monarchy works.
And this is when Corey picks up a payphone. Finally, yeah. Corey.
But I feel like he's being such a tattletale bitch. Like, I don't know. Like, come on, Corey.
I would do the same thing. He's abandoned.
I don't understand. If he wants to stay in this small town, then let him.
But he needs a ride.
Then
what's he supposed to do?
Take the bus. I don't know.
I would call my parents, too, because what if your parents were like, don't take the bus, it's dangerous or something. Maybe he doesn't have enough money for the bus. Who knows?
Because he spent on too much tape recorders. That's his problem.
Yeah.
And the yogurt sweatpants. Yeah. Like, and the yogurt hat. And then the yogurt spoon hat.
So much merch. And then Corey's eating the pie and he's just like, oh, man, this is why people never leave. And he's getting roped in by this pie.
Yeah, the pie seems really good. So Alan comes in and he warns him not to eat the pie. And he shows where His Royal Highness, the King of Pottstown, is. Yeah, he's holding court. And Eric introduces him to all of his new friends. And Alan is like, you know, Eric, like, your mom and I trusted you that you'd be responsible enough to take your brother on this road trip, and you've been gone for 2 months, and, like, this is how you thank us? Like, you're not going to come home, and you're not going to drop your brother off? And, like, Eric was like, well, I was going to call you in the morning and tell you. And Alan's like, your plans are to get in the car and go home, and you're not going to stop until you are home. Mm-hmm. And Eric wants to stay there, and then they have to, like, go to a separate table and have, like, a talk.
I love how they have a private conversation in the middle of a public diner.
In, like, a private conversation in the booth over from Irene and the guys. But it's private because they're sitting
so private
in the booth alone.
Yes.
So, yes. Meanwhile, Corey is now eating a gigantic pie with the old guy.
I love that. It was all whipped cream.
Yeah, like a like a meringue type of deal, or like a cream pie. I don't know. So Alan wants to get down to the business. What is this about? Like, what's going on here? And Eric says, I don't see the point in going home because there's nothing for me. He's like, you know, I went to nursery school, grammar school, high school for what? I didn't get into college. Everything that I've done up until now has been a waste of time. Mm-hmm. And it's too late to change who I am. And he's like, you wouldn't get it. And Alan's like, actually, bro, I do get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really tough. And this is when we hear from Alan. He's like, you know, I understand this a lot. You know, it's easy to find a place that's comfortable and stay there. But that's all you'd be doing. You'd be settling. And you'd try to tell yourself that this is the life that you want. But you stumbled into it. It's not really what you love. And like, you can tell that Alan saying this is coming directly from his own experiences.
Right.
But
it's kind of a beautiful thing because they both can relate on something at the same time together. And I think that's like one of like when you are an adult and you transition to adulthood and you start relating to your parents more, like when you connect on that adult level and like a real level and not just as like mother, daughter, father, son, whatever. It's very powerful to be like, hey, I get it. I've been through that. Like, this is how I feel about it.
Yeah. So Alan feels that way right now. And Eric feels that way right now. So this is not a thing that only happens to teenagers. This happens to everybody. And Eric is afraid to go home. He says, you know, what is even there? And Alan has to remind him. He's like, your friends, your family, people you know are home. Never be afraid to go home. And I love this part. And he's like, how do you know? And Corey comes over and he says, because he's dad. And I love this line from Alan. He says, yeah, that's mostly what I am. And like, even still, like, one could argue that like being a mom or a dad or a parent in general, that's not most of what you are. You're more than just that. Right? Like, you can be a husband, you could be a wife, you could be anything, you don't have to only be one thing. But I think this kind of pulls Alan out of that funk and makes him realize just being a grocer, that does not define him. He has people who rely on him and love him and that he supports and that care about him and like listen to him. And that's to him way more important than what his day-to-day job is and how he makes his money. And so I just love that moment. And I think that like it hits Eric in the right way too, because he immediately gets up and is like, okay, you know, I get it. I'm ready to go home now.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that it was a really nice moment as well. Mm-hmm. I felt like Corey was like a little bit of like entering in the adult conversation. Like, you sit at the kids' table, Corey. Like, you don't get this. Yeah. But no, I thought it was a really nice moment as well. So then we get to our end scene, and Morgan comes down, and Sean and Topanga and Amy are there, and Morgan's like, I told them that you made blueberry pancakes, and she's like, well, I didn't. And she says, well, you know, they're lucky that you even let them live here, so it doesn't matter. So Morgan wants to know the tea from Topanga. She wants to know if Corey and Topanga are going to kiss. And Topanga is being like such a wet blanket about this, and is like, Morgan, that's personal. Like, ew, Topanga, like, stop it. Like, spill the tea. Are you going to kiss or not? And Morgan's like, just between you, us girls. And then she like concedes and is like, yes, like right on the lips. Like, get out of here, Topanga.
Yeah. And we have like Sean saying like, just you wait. He's going to be way more excited. We've been best friends forever. Like, he's going to want to see me. And Corey comes down the stairs and he is like, his arms wide open. He goes, Sean, my best friend. And Sean has his arms wide open. And Corey like ducks right under and kisses Topanga. And in like in between kisses with Topanga, he's like talking about his summer with Sean, and Sean's like, you see he wanted to talk to me. It was a cute moment. I liked it.
I loved it. This episode was excellent. I think that it is a great start to season 4.
Yes.
I think this is going to be one of those pilots that are not pilots, one of those preview what am I saying?
Premiere.
Oh my God. The P's. The P's get me every time.
P's getting ya.
Yeah, the premiere, one of the best premieres of the Boy Meets World that we're going to get.
I think so, too. I think, like, storyline A, storyline B, both fantastic. Yes. Kind of, and not only that, but the continuity between the seasons, kind of picking up where we left off, really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed the moral of the story. I think most of the characters made an appearance. Shauna Topanga obviously had less to do. We don't see Turner. Most of the characters were here and had at least one line. Even Morgan is involved. I'm really excited for this season. It's going to be really fun to cover.
I do have just one question for you about the episode, or just about something in general. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if I could bring you to that farmhouse there.
You're going to say something like that. That farmhouse there.
Can I bring you there, friend? Young friend?
Now it's starting to sound creepy. Are you going to ask me if I want candy next?
No candy. I do have a treat for you, though. Mm-hmm. Fashion Hour.
Fashion Hour. I'm so excited to be back to Fashion Hour.
If anybody is new here, we do our Fashion Award at Fashion Awards every episode. We have two awards, the Rachel Green Award for the Most 90s Outfit and the Paul Rudd Certificate for the Most Timeless Outfit, because what's more timeless than Paul Rudd himself? Mm-hmm. Ageless, timeless. So my first nominee for the Rachel Green Award for the Most 90s Outfit is Yogurt Girl Irene, and she is wearing like such a cute little outfit. Like, she is wearing a white shirt underneath this like cropped pink camisole, or no, cardigan with like these like chunky buttons. She is wearing what I think is a jean skort.
Yes,
it is. If you can believe it. And her hair is like Rachel Green-esque, isn't it?
Yeah, let me tell you, when I was obsessed with this outfit, I'm obsessed with this outfit because I loved a freaking skort in my day, girl. My mom I both. We were so big on skorts. My mom, I bet you if I asked her, she would still be like, I would rock a skort today. Because they're so cute. Like, they're nice because it offers you the coverage of, like, you're not going to flash anybody accidentally. But it's still, like, the cute femininity of a mini skirt.
And
for those of us with the thick thighs, it prevents the chub rub, which is a dastardly thing to have. So on top of that, I think that we both agree that like this kind of dusty pinkish type of color is flattering on a lot of people. And I think it definitely is flattering on her. Her haircut is very cute. I really, really love this outfit. And she looks very like small town girlish, like girl next door, which is what they were going for.
Right, yeah. And I liked Irene, too. Like, there's a part of me that really wishes that Eric could have stayed in Pottstown and, like, really made something for himself there. Like, got, like, a small job at the yogurt shop and, like, eventually maybe, like, went to the local news place. Like, I don't know. Like, a small, like, radio news place and, like, got to do something. Like, I really could imagine Eric transitioning to something like that. Like, I think that he could have been happy there, but I understand, like, you have to go home. Like, you have to face, it's less so you have to go home and more so you have to face your demons. You can't be running forever.
Yeah.
So I get it, but part of me just wants him to be like with Irene and the guys and like live in the small town where have him finally feel good about himself.
Maybe she got out of that small town. You know what I mean? Like, maybe she went to like a big city, if that's what she wants.
She seems like she's very happy. Exactly. I don't know.
Maybe they put up signs and business was booming.
Yeah, I hope so. So my next nomination is Feeny. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this outfit was like, when you look back at old like family photos, like, you know, like when you go to like your great aunt's house, like you have to sit down with the photo album and like go through all these photos. Like, this is an outfit that I can see like your grandpa or your uncle wearing back in the 90s in these old photos. So Feeny is wearing some like glasses that are like very vintage. He's wearing like a light yellow polo shirt. belted, these like dark khaki, flowy pants, a watch. Like, it's very like grandpa outfit, but I feel like it's very like specific to that time era.
Yes, because this is like what your grandpa always wears, where he wears his pants like super high up and his shirt is always tucked in. He has like that little duck tail sticking out the back. No, always tucked in.
Always tucked.
Very cute for Feeny. We don't see him in this type of outfit a lot because he's usually wearing like a full suit for work.
Yeah, he's usually more dressed up, or he's in his gardening attire.
You know what's funny to think about? Is this Feeny's casual outfit?
Yes, this is cash Feeny. This is like when he's not gardening,
or up at his like cabin,
yeah. Or and like typically we see them in their in the winter. We don't normally see them.
He has arms
in summer. I don't know if I've ever seen Feeny's arms.
We've now seen his arms.
Yeah. So what do you think about Feeny's summer, summer outfit?
Summer outfit. I totally agree with what you're saying. This is a very specific vision. And it totally fits with like a grandpa or an uncle. And I agree with you. I don't think it's the most like fashionable thing in the world. Like we've seen, I prefer when Feeny is like a bit more feisty and red. But like, this is his summer outfit, his summer casual outfit.
My last nomination, no fashion award can go by without a mention of this girl.
Of course.
Topanga Lawrence. This is her end scene outfit. And I just think that she's freaking adorable. Number one, her hair is very straight, very long, parted in the middle. And it's her hair is so gorgeous. It's not fair, Jessica.
I know.
Her makeup is like very like pink, baby pink lip, pouty lip, like a little bit of mascara, like natural, but like high school natural, where like you definitely had like a little bit of oomph, but not too much. Cause so, you're a high schooler, and she's wearing this like little tennis dress that has like a polo type collar, and it's short, and the pattern is like these, it's like a almost like a plaid, but it's like orange and yellow, and has like little like I don't know, little shapes on it.
It reminds me, it's like very like mod 70s.
Yes. Wearing some simple gold, silver jewelry, but then like the piece de resistance, look at those chunky ass sneaks.
I love them. They're like platform sneaks. They're so cute. I could see people wearing them today, honestly, because those types of things are like back in style now. They kind of came back.
Yeah. Like, I love those little sneaks. This is like her sporty look.
Yeah, sporty with the twist, right? Like sporty with the dress. No, of course she looks adorable. Of course she looks amazing because she's Topanga, and that's just the way it is. Like, we have to get used to her being gorgeous every single episode and being jealous because she's gorgeous every single episode. This is like such a hard decision, honestly, because like
it really is.
Topanga looks amazing, but it's like, here's the thing. Irene is only around for a single episode. If I didn't have such an obsession with skorts, she might not get my point. But like, I see a skort and I have to do it. I have to give Irene the point because Topanga will get more points as we go along. Like, it's very obvious. Yeah, poor Feeny. I'm sorry, Feeny, but the skort got me.
I know. I always try to get the Feeny points in.
You do.
But you're stingy.
I'm sorry.
So congratulations, Yogurt Girl. Next up is the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award. My first nomination is Amy going to the Grossies. This black dress that she's wearing, it's like above the knee, short, simple, timeless black dress. The perfect little black dress. It's a high neck, but has a saucy low back. She has like a little like sparkly belt buckle in the like type of like brooch in at her waist that just cinches her in. Black heels that are very timeless. And then she in her arm, she has like a little shawl, but like it like lays like within her arm, her elbow pits.
Yeah.
Yes. So classy. Her hair is typical Amy hair.
Yeah, but it looks almost the same as last season. This dress is iconic. This is the definition of a little black dress. The LBD. Yes. It is perfect. And the low back, things are getting saucy at the grossies.
Saucy at the grossies, yeah. Such a pretty, look. I love it. It's
beautiful. And anytime, I love how we like literally, we lose our fucking shit anytime Amy dresses up. We're like, bow down, queen.
I know, I know. We're hungry for those looks. I know.
Yeah, no, she's amazing. It's an obvious, amazing outfit.
I love it. Next up, I love this outfit. I love this outfit. So this is Corey when he is at the motel room and he is wearing his pink spoon sunglasses. Such a mood to wear sunglasses inside. Mm-hmm. I wear sunglasses all the time inside, mostly so that people don't see me cry, but also because it's just such like a diva move.
Yes.
He is wearing like a brownish maroon t-shirt. He's wearing his Yogurtland sweatpants. He's wearing brown Converse and he's just acting like full diva and he has like a watch. What do you think about this ensemble?
I mean, this is a very casual Corey look. Like, I love the spoon glasses. I don't know how you quite see through them clearly because it seems like some of the spoons are over top of the part you'd be looking out of.
Look, when you look that good, you don't have to see.
No, I guess not. I would love to, like, get these yogurt pants, honestly. They're pretty much just like joggers that have yogurt things on the side. I'd wear them.
Yeah.
The thing I don't like is I'm not a huge fan of like when brown and like black and gray are combined. So like mm-hmm. not a huge fan of that. But because he had to get these pants last second, I can forgive it.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that they had, like, extra undies with, like, yogurt cups on them, too?
I hope so.
I sure hope so.
I hope so.
And my last nomination is Zaddy Allen. Zaddy Allen's looking really good this episode. Yes. Like, I like his haircut. And he has, like, his haircut's, like, just a little bit shorter. It's not as poofy mm-hmm. as it has been. He's wearing, and this is the scene where, well, he wore this for most of the episode. He wore this when he was talking to Feeny, and he wore this when he picked up Corey. Which, by the way, I hope that Corey rode home with Alan and not with Eric.
Oh, I don't think he would. Yeah.
Yeah. I would be like, nope. I'm going home with Dad. Yep. So he is wearing a white t-shirt underneath a button-up, like, really, really pretty purple shirt that is like just a button down shirt, but he has it rolled, the sleeves rolled up, so they're 3/4. I love this color. The pants are, they're like either like dark brown or like grayed black, faded black, something like that. Mm-hmm. But they're not baggy at all. They're very like,
yeah, they're fitted.
They're very fitted. And he has like a silver watch. He's just looking real good. What do you think about this outfit?
I like his haircut so much better than last season because I feel like it was a little bit poofy. No, I think this is a great look for him. It's a very casual look, but this color looks really good on him. It's a very unique color because it is like a dusty purple almost.
Dusty purple.
Right?
I love it. I think it's a good color on him. You know, I love dusty pink, dusty rose. And a dusty purple. I like dusty purple.
I think
purple.
It's a good look on him. I think he looks good here. But looks like great. There's a clear cut winner in this situation. And it's
pink spoon glasses.
No. Anytime Amy dresses up, you know she's my queen and she deserves the point here. So she will be getting the Paul Rudd certificate.
All right. All right. So congratulations, Yogurt Girl Irene. And congratulations to Amy. You are 2 winners this week.
Yes. So next week we're covering just 1 episode. So folks who are watching along with us, you're only watching season 4, episode 2, and we won't be alone. We will be having our repeat guest, Tommy, back on with us. I'm super amped for that. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Next episode is a huge Boy Meets World episode.
I can't wait. It's going to be great.
It's a huge episode. Hair today, goon tomorrow.
Ooh, the name alone, beach.
It's just like one of the most memorable episodes, and I'm really, really, really excited.
Yeah.
So tune into that. you know, it's almost October. Mm-hmm. So let's talk bonus content.
Yes.
We are obviously doing two Halloween movies, or two Halloween adjacent movies. The first being Halloween Town. Jessica and I are revisiting Halloween Town. We're covering Halloween Town 2.
It's gonna last be year such we did Halloween mess. Town. I can't.
So
wait.
Yeah, we love making fun of Halloween Town because last year we were fully convinced that like this was a great movie, and when we watched, we were like, this movie fucking sucks.
We were shocked that it was so bad. And so, yes. Like, I can't wait to see how bad the sequel is. Like, yep. It's going to be so bad.
Yeah. So, I'm really looking forward to covering that. That's just going to be Jess and I. And then later on in the month, we are doing Interview with a Vampire with Sarah Carradine.
I'm very excited
and
about that.
That's going to be very exciting. Aside from that, of course, you can catch us weekly with our Boy Meets World content and our Dawson's Creek content. If you want to send in feedback or leave us a voicemail or just say hi, follow along. By the way, I don't know if you don't follow us on Instagram and Twitter, but in regards to the Fashion Awards, I post the winners mm-hmm. and the nominations every week, the day after the episode releases. So for Boy Meets World, I release Fashion Hour on Fridays. So if you want to follow along and see what the outfits look like, make sure you catch us on our Instagram or Twitter at shit90spod. Leave us a voicemail or send in feedback at www.shit90spod.com. Send us an email just saying how much you like us.
We love that.
shit90spod@gmail.com.
You could give us a rating if you'd like. We love that yes. too. And subscribe.
Five-star rating.
Yes. Only 5 stars.
Yeah. And then if you want to follow me, I'm at Sarah Ferguson. And Jessica, what are you up to?
I am at the Just Sterling. And as always, you can find me over at Post Show Recaps covering Community on Community Building with Josh Wiggler. And coming up, I believe the first podcast will be out next Monday. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that's why I'm comfortable announcing it. Soon I will be covering Succession with Josh Wiggler and Grace Leader. That is going to be coming out. That doesn't start until like midway into October, but we're doing a couple preseason podcasts to get you all caught up. Succession is an HBO show. It's really, really good. This is the first time I'm going to be covering something that's actually on like now. So that'll be interesting. But it's a really good show, so go check it out. You still have time to binge the first two seasons on HBO Max. They're only 10 episodes per season, so easy to binge. Go check it out. It's gonna be a ton of fun.
Make sure you check out Post Show Recaps. It's that podcast over there.
That was amazing. Yeah, so go check that out as well. Become a patron if you're not. It's really worth it. You could spend a ton of time with me if that's what you're going for. By all means, join the Discord. I'm there a lot of the time. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. But join us next week for Boy Meets World Season 4, Episode 2 with Tommy. It's going to be a ton of fun. We will talk to you all next time. Bye.
Shit90shows.me. When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.